Our scripture comes from Mark 2, verses 13 to 17. Jesus calls Levi. Jesus went out again beside the lake, and the whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and we continue a sermon series on holding space for others. You will see in the back of your bulletin the parts where you can take notes, and again, the definition of holding space. This morning, I'm going to talk about holding space as we walk alongside another person in their journey, as we are willing to do so without judging them, as we do so without making them feel inadequate or try to fix them. We also don't want to try to impact the outcome of their lives. When we hold space for others, we open our hearts and we offer unconditional love. We learn more about not just them, but ourselves as well. And most importantly, we support another person's faith journey. This morning, I'm going to look about holding space for someone and not judging someone, not trying to impact their lives or make them feel inadequate. And next Sunday, as we celebrate Chinese New Year together and Valentine's Day as well, we talk about opening our hearts and offering unconditional love. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words. You know our thoughts, Lord, and may your truth be reflected in our reflections. We ask, Lord, that you help us to make these actions of Jesus Christ teach us more about ourselves, and that the Holy Spirit move within us. Amen. So as I talk about holding space, the first thing we need to remember is to hold space without judging another person. We all know someone, a coworker, a college friend, a student, a family friend, a relative even, that we need to hold space for. These are people who do not yet know the love of Jesus Christ, who do not yet have a relationship with God, but we understand they need to have a deeper understanding of life. And that is having Christ in your heart. When we talk about not being judging, it might be a hard thing to realize. The reality is we live in a very judging world. If you turn on the TV, there are tons of TV shows where people are being judged. There's singing competition shows like American Idol, The Voice, or Lip Sync Competition. Some of my favorites even are cooking shows, Top Chef, Master Chef, Cutthroat Kitchen, all these cooking shows. They also have those kind of shows where you get eliminated, The Biggest Loser or Survivor, or I hate this show, The Bachelor or Bachelorette, where if the woman doesn't receive the rose, right, she's, you know, judged on her personality, supposedly, and if she doesn't receive the rose, she's eliminated at the end of the competition. And recently, in the social media news, this is my Super Bowl tie-in, they said that one of the past Super Bowl players, Rodney Harrison, a football player, he was talking about the Super Bowl quarterback Cam Newton, who plays for the Carolina Panthers. And this ex-football player was saying that the only way to stop Cam Newton, this great quarterback who's probably going to win the Super Bowl for his team, is to take him out, to hurt him, to knock him out of the game, and maybe even go for the knees. This is very, of course, unsportsmanlike for a football player to say that about another football player. And our social media and our people have judged him greatly. There have been tweets about having him fired. There have been threats against his life, all because he threatened another Super Bowl player. We live in a very judging society. So when we know we live in a judging society, how then do we do differently? Now, our time is not different from Jesus' time. When Jesus was around and walking, people of his time judged as well. We see in this morning's passage a very obvious case of a person being judged. But we also see Jesus did not judge a person. When Jesus walked at the lake shore, he did something different. He saw Levi, the tax collector, and he saw that as a crowd was gathering around him, he sees Levi. He says, "Levi is the son of Alphaeus," sitting at the tax booth. And Jesus could have easily have walked by Levi and left him alone, because tax collectors of those times, as we know, tax collectors of our times, aren't really loved. I have a friend who said he never knew what his neighbor did for 10 years. He would ask his neighbor about his job and he'd get vague answers. Oh, I crunch numbers, or oh, I help people certain times of the year. And then he found out later that his friend worked for the IRS, that this neighbor never wanted to tell anyone what his job was until 10 years later when they found out. Yeah, so when I say IRS, everyone kind of groans, right? We have, even in our society, and in Jesus' society as well, we look down upon the tax collectors. We know that Levi, it says in the scripture passage, was son of Alphaeus. It means he was known in his community, but yet he had chosen to be a tax collector. Some would say that his sin was not his job, the sin of being a tax collector, but his sin was that he chose to be a tax collector. For we know that tax collectors of those times especially were very ruthless. They worked for the Roman Empire. They worked for the King Herod or whoever was ruling at that time. Because they lived in the community, they knew the people in the community, and they were very aware of how much money the people in the community had. The people could not hide their money, and the tax collector would come to their door and aggressively knock on the door and not leave their home until they were collecting money for the Roman Empire. So tax collectors of those times were not liked at all. So when then Jesus does this amazing thing as he passes Levi sitting at the tax booth doing his job, the hated job, Jesus looks at Levi and Jesus says to him, "Follow me." Jesus does not judge Levi, but instead he offers an invitation to follow me. In this reading from Mark, we do not hear more about Levi much later. But if you read about Levi in the passage of Matthew, the book of Matthew and other Gospels, they also say that Levi could have been Matthew, the later disciple who followed Jesus. So here we see this wonderful image of Jesus looking at Levi, the hated tax collector, and instead of passing him by, instead of judging him and putting him down, instead of ignoring him or saying things that could have been more detrimental to Levi's life, Jesus instead says, "Follow me." He does not judge him. For Jesus is doing this amazing thing. He is living out the word of God. He is knowing that he is not the one to judge. Only God can judge. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 37 to 38, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Jesus is living out the word of God, for he is not judging because he knows he does not want to be judged. He is not condemning because he knows he does not want to be condemned. He is instead offering forgiveness with the words, "Follow me," because he knows how important forgiveness is and how important his forgiveness will be. So it's interesting to see that Jesus did not judge Levi when he could have easily have done those things. They like to say that Jesus was the greatest politician ever. And in our time, as we were facing a new election of a president, I'm sure if you've been following the debates that have been happening, and even last night, there was a Republican debate. I was listening to the debates on the radio as I was driving to pick up Phil from the airport. And as soon as Phil got off the plane, they immediately began talking about the debates and who did good and who was really, really bad. We do seem to follow politicians. So if Jesus was the greatest politician, and if you read the book of Mark in chapter 1 and even the beginning of chapter 2, Jesus is on point. He could have ran for president then and won the election. He did all these great things. Jesus had healed people in chapter 1. He had made the blind see. He had touched the lepers and healed them. He had taken demons out of people. He was being this great politician. He was winning over people with all these great actions he was doing. So then why then, when we get to Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, does Jesus do something that would make him look bad in people's eyes? All the way up until this passage, Jesus had been doing good. He had been winning favor. He had been teaching. He had been preaching. He had been healing. He had been doing all these things that made him popular in the eyes of many. So then to reach out to a person who is the most unpopular in this society, the tax collector, the person who is known to be a sinner, Jesus then hurt his own reputation, but he did that because he knew it was not his place to judge. He did not want to judge Levi, and instead he offered an invitation, "Follow me." And we know later in Mark chapter 2, verse 15, that Jesus then finds himself at the home of Levi, eating a dinner. And they says that many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples. Imagine that, not just one tax collector or sinner sitting with Jesus, not just two, but many, many were sitting with Jesus. Many tax collectors and sinners were sitting with Jesus. So then when the scribes and the Pharisees, the faithful people in the town, they see that Jesus is eating with sinners, they, of course, are judging. They, of course, question Jesus and say, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And what does Jesus do when he hears this? He says to them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus knew that Levi needed him, and that is the important thing of this passage. The tax collector, the sinners, Levi, and the others needed him. Jesus had Mary and his family, and his mother Mary and his family. He knew that these people loved him, but they did not need him the way Levi needed him. Jesus knew he had his faithful disciples, people who followed him. They followed him, but they did not need him the way Levi and the other sinners needed him. Jesus had even the scribes and the Pharisees and the other people of faith who were watching him, who were faithful and devoted to him, but they did not need him the way Levi and the other sinners needed him. Jesus knew he was needed by Levi, that he was to be the physician that healed them, to bring God back into their lives, to help them with their sins. And when Jesus did this, what he was doing, he was holding space for Levi. He was being on Levi's journey with him. He was not judging him, trying to change him, to impact his life in a certain way. He was doing, holding space and being there and offering love for Levi. We are called to do the same as well, to hold space for someone that we know needs us. They might not yet know that they need us, but we know that they need us. Because we can bring Christ's love to them, a coworker, a schoolmate, a family member, or a longtime friend. We know there is at least someone else in this world that needs us, and God calls us to be with those that need us. We look at Jesus and what he was doing. They say that he was confronting sin. Jesus was confronting sin with truth and love in respect. His reaching out to Levi to say, follow me, his having a meal that was so important with Levi and the other sinners, he was confronting their sins, not with judgment, not with more directions of what to do better, but he was confronting them with love and truth in respect. We know that Jesus says in Matthew verse 2, that in everything do to others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus was doing unto Levi and the sinners what he would want to be done unto him, to be openly welcomed, to be given love, and have an invitation of a shared meal together. So when we talk about holding space for someone else, then we must remember to do those things, to not judge them, but to do unto them what we would want do unto us. We know we've all been judged in our life. I'm sure if I give you 5 seconds, you can think of a time you've been judged in your life. I don't know if you know this about me, but when I was younger, I used to always want to be on a game show. So when I was in high school, I tried out for Teen Jeopardy. I went to the CBS studios and I tried out for Teen Jeopardy. You first have to send in a postcard, because this is old school, right? Before online computer stuff. So you send in a postcard with your name, your age, your school, and maybe some other information. And then if you were lucky, they sent you a letter back inviting you to try out. And I was one of those persons. I think I had sent a postcard in 2 or 3 years in a row, and finally my junior year, I got an invitation back. So I showed up for this tryout, and I was so excited. I dressed up, and we were all put in a room. And again, this is old school. We were given a series of 50 questions. It was really cool. It was Alex Trebek on this big screen TV asking us these questions. And then we had to do a Scantron form, A, B, or C, fill in the blank circles. And then after the Scantrons were graded, those who did well got called to stay for a second part, and I was one of those. I was really excited. And then after that, you were given like a one-on-one interview and then told, thank you for coming. We'll inform you if you're on the show. I was never put on the show. But that didn't deter me, because then later in college, I tried out for Wheel of Fortune. I thought, that's easier. That's easy. You've seen Wheel of Fortune, you know. Same thing, I went to this big auditorium, and there were thousands of people there, and this one for 3 hours was that you turn in a card with your name and occupation and, again, information, and then they drew out of a big box those cards. I was never called, but I guess they must have kept the card, because a month later, I got an email, because this is later, saying, you're invited to have an audition for L.A., people who lived in L.A. So I went back to then, and I never got on the show, but it was a fun experience. I got a little pencil that said Wheel of Fortune and a notepad. We've all been judged in our life. That was a time of judging for me. And most recently, I was judged 2 years ago when I applied for elder ordination. Think about when you've been judged in your life. How did you feel? Most of us would be, if we're honest, say we didn't like that feeling of being judged. How could these people judge us if they don't really know us? Or what is happening that we are doing to make people judge us? If we don't like being judged, then why are we judging others? Why are we judging people when making them feel inadequate? Why are we trying to fix people? Because that is judging someone when you try to fix them. And why are we trying to impact the outcome of their lives? Jesus didn't judge people. He didn't judge Levi. He didn't make Levi feel inadequate. He didn't try to fix him, and he didn't try to impact the outcome of his life. We don't see in the scripture passage after the Mark 2 verse 17, there's not a 17b passage that says, Jesus told Levi to quit his tax collector job, or Jesus told Levi and the other sinners to be free of their sins and do all these things. Jesus never did that. He just held space for them. He just tried to love them without judging them. And we as Christians today are called to do that for others as well. To not judge, to not try to fix people, and to not try to impact the outcome of their lives. We must strive to do that. I share with you a modern-day story of a nun in London. Her name is Sister Ansi Matthews. And Sister Ansi Matthews had been a nun for quite some time. She had done what they would call the hard work that some of the nuns are required to do. She had done the laundry for all the priests that lived in the convent where she stayed. She had worked with the homeless people in the streets. She had done all these things, faithful service, for many years. So at the end of her time, Sister Matthews was given the opportunity to choose where she would next serve. And they thought, well, she's at the end of her time. She's done all the hard work. She deserves a good place. Thinking maybe she'll go to an orphanage and help the young children, or maybe she'll go to one of the retirement homes and work with people that she has is similar to her age. But Sister Matthews, she chose to do something different. She chose to stay in London to work with police who were helping to rescue prostitutes from the street. She would even sometimes not dress in her nun clothing, but regular clothing, and walk amongst the streets to talk to the prostitutes and tell them about God's love. She chose a hard life for continuing her work as a nun. But she did this because she knew that God's love needed to be brought to these people, and she did this without judging the people that she was trying to help. She never judged the prostitutes. She didn't even judge the pimps who were working hard to make the prostitutes do bad things. Sister Matthews knew that she was called to spread God's love and the love of Christ in this way, to not judge people, but to work with people and bring them to the church. And she's done amazing work herself during her last years as a nun. We are called as Christians to help people as well, to not judge them, but to find ways that we can be in love with them, to share the love of Christ with them. And just as Jesus sat with Levi at the table and shared a meal, and just as Jesus sat with the disciples at the time of the Last Supper and shared the communion meal, today we will have fellowship as well and share the communion meal. So I invite you that as we take the bread later and drink of the juice later, to remember Jesus, who did not judge, who did not impact people's lives purposely. He impacted our lives, of course, but in a different way. And he didn't try to fix. We must be like Jesus, to hold space for people and to not judge them. Let us pray. Lord, we hear your word through the scripture passage, learning about Levi and Mark and the way he was offered this wonderful invitation to follow me. We know, Lord, that if we accept this invitation to follow Christ as well, that we must seek to hold space for people, people who need your love, Lord, who are lost in these times, that we must not judge them. We must not try to change their lives in that way, but instead offer them unconditional love, to tell them about the great works of Christ, and then your eternal life, the love that you offer through Jesus Christ is for all. Amen. We go now into our time of communion, and if I could have the microphone. Just as Jesus sat down at a table to share food with Levi and the other sinners, and he sat down, as I mentioned, also with the disciples, we today are at a table, present before the Lord as we take the first communion to remember Jesus and the sacrifice given for us. Hear these words of invitation that Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Thanks, Aaron. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Together we say, Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with your whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have not broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join our unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you. Gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We now invite you to come forward as you are able to receive the body and blood of Christ in remembrance of him.
All about you.